The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
The final hour of the week has arrived. We thank all of you for being a part of it. We had Bill Hancock on a couple of hours ago, and we end with Andy Staples, of course, who's been here so many times talking about the college football playoff. In the Athletic, his headline, college football playoff proposal balances needs of leagues, ignores the fans. Okay. Andy, thank you. Appreciate you being here. And your reaction to the week that was in college football, how are you?
I'm good. I was impressed with the way they put this thing together, because there were some just agreements made, concessions made, compromises made that I wasn't sure any of these guys would ever be able to get around to doing. And I think the group did a really good job of figuring out, okay, here's what the Pac-12 and Big Ten need. Here's what the SEC needs. Here's what the ACC needs. Here's what the Group of Five needs. And I feel like they came up with something that pretty much meets all those, which I thought a couple of the things they did were very elegant in terms of solutions. Like, you know, because I was wondering, how do you specify the Power Five champs? Like, you guarantee the five Power Five champ spots and then one Group of Five. Don't do that at all. Just say the top six ranked conference champs. I think that works great. And, you know, if I'm a Sun Belt, I'm looking at it and going, wow, we would have gotten Coastal in last year.
And I'm wondering about that, Andy, because, I mean, that was something, as we all, pontificated, it was almost like there was no way this would ever be agreed upon unless the Group of Five had an automatic seat, and the Power Five conferences had one too, and that did not happen. I'm curious if you have any theory or have heard how they moved past what we all thought was an absolute.
I think they somebody really smart. And I have not heard who it was. I'd love to know who had the initial idea. And I know these are all pretty smart people working on this. The four who were in the working group are Greg Sankey and Craig Thompson and Bob Bowlesby and Jack Swarbrick, and I know they're all smart guys. But I would love to know who came up with that idea initially, because it really works on a couple of levels, because it doesn't say, hey, we're the Power Five, we're better than you. But it does create a system where usually all five Power Five champs are going to get in. And if you're the Group of Five, well, you're going to agree to anything after this, because this is way better than anything you would hope for.
Yeah, it's not automatic, but it pretty much is automatic. I mean, as we've seen, UCF would have gotten in, Coastal would have gotten in. I mean, that's a debate that will not be any longer to have. Let me ask you, what's your confidence level that this is going to happen in 2 years?
I'm pretty confident. I don't think they reveal that much to us here in 2021 if they're not already pretty far down the road, or they don't feel like it's going to get approved by the people who need to approve it. And they've got two more layers to get through to approve it. The one sticking point that I have, and I hope they do talk about this, I don't know if they will, but the quarterfinals need to be on campus. I mean, if I'm Alabama and I'm the one seed, I'm pretty ticked that I don't get rewarded with a home game. And if I'm playing the eight seed who just won a home game, like, why do they get a home game and I don't? Like, imagine a scenario where you've got Alabama is the one, and this could have happened last year. So let's say Alabama's the one, and you have Georgia playing Cincinnati at Nippert Stadium in the 8-9 game. Georgia wins that game. Well, what if the quarterfinals in the Peach Bowl? How is that an advantage for Alabama, the number one seed? Like, it's silly. The fans don't need to be traveling three times to watch a team play for the national title, and college football is better on campus. It looks better on TV. It's better for the people there. Less people have to travel. The economic impact in the little towns is a lot bigger than the economic impact in the big towns that have the bowl games. And it's just more fun. So stop worrying about toadying the bowl people and put it on campus where it belongs.
Can you explain to us, Andy, and I'll act like I just came in from a UFO, why these commissioners and why people that run college athletics do kowtow to the bowl people?
I don't know now. I mean, they make so much money. I don't see why a free round of golf or a trip to the strip club from Smith Bowl is that valuable to you anymore. But, you know, here's the thing. I will say there are three bowls that I completely understand if they want to protect, because leagues have very strong business interests in these bowls. I mean, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 pretty much run the Rose Bowl. The SEC and the Big 12 created that a similar relationship with the Sugar Bowl back during that last round of realignment. The ACC has that kind of relationship with the Orange Bowl. So those three I do understand and would understand if they get force-fed into this thing. The other ones, I don't get it. They keep talking about tradition, blah, 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 January 1st, blah, blah, blah. Look, you can play football games anywhere on January 1st. People are going to watch them. So I think that's the part that I got to – but I will say this, Paul, and I think this is something that makes it a little more complicated. You know, the Fiesta, the Cotton, the Peach, they're in the contract with the playoff, and that contract runs through the 2025 season.
Right.
So if you're going to rip up the contract to do something new early, you probably have to get their permission. So you may have to include them. You may not have a choice, or you cut them a check. And I would imagine, or at least if I'm them, I would demand a pretty big check.
Yeah, I think that's really a very salient point. Let me ask you about the bowls, because, you know, we're so used to, on that Saturday before Christmas, you know, long list of bowl games, whether it's in Montgomery or Mobile or Vegas. What's going to happen to those games? Because there's no way they can compete with what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but they weren't competing with it in the first place.
They did have television spots, so they were pretty valuable.
Which they still will, because remember, the 3 a.m. replay of the Beefo Brady's Bowl still outrates a good regular season college basketball game.
That's pretty good.
And it all occasionally ties an NBA game. So, I mean, there's a market for that. And especially, I hate to say this, with gambling being legalized in more places, people with money on those games like to watch those games, and they like the action there. I just think your employer wants that inventory.
Okay.
And they're going to make that inventory happen however it needs to happen.
And you mentioned gambling, and I keep hearing that. Is that happening now in college football? That's news to me.
It would appear so, Paul. I know the other network that televises has dove, you know, headlong into it, and places like Colorado have an official sports book sponsor, but yeah, I hear it goes on a little bit.
Okay. All these speculative pieces on winners and losers, certainly Notre Dame's always in that, and there's this great tug of war with Jack Swarbrick being a part of it. I mean, at first glance, it looked like, man, Notre Dame got jobbed, but they also get that home game and maybe an advantage in other ways. Where are you on Notre Dame?
I think Swarbrick did a pretty good job with this. But here's the thing that everybody always forgot with the 14 playoff. Notre Dame made a bargain with the 14 playoff that they're not getting in unless they're undefeated. They did get in with a loss last year, but last year they were an ACC team, so that was a different story. As an independent, Notre Dame was not making the 14 playoff unless it went 12-0. Now, Notre Dame can go 10-2 and make the playoff. And I think that opens up a much wider avenue for Notre Dame. And so I think it was a pretty smart move by Jack Swarbrick. And I thought the way he put it was pretty interesting. And I hadn't thought about it this way, but, you know, they don't play a conference championship game. And so his thinking is, if we have to play an extra game to win the national title, so be it. Then we're just even with the champions of the other leagues.
And Andy, that was another one of those things that we thought we absolutely knew would never budge. The SEC, the ACC, they're adhering to these conference championship games as being sacrosanct. So what about them now? I know Hancock told us today that they're going to be even more meaningful than ever. Really? Are they?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
I don't know that they're going to be more meaningful than ever. I think the 2012 SEC Championship game or the 08 or the 09, those are going to be tough to top in terms of meaning. But I do think the solution they came up with was again, another elegant one where you say you can't get a bye, you can't be one of those top four unless you're a conference champion. So, you know, if you're sitting there at number three in the rankings going into the conference championship game, and you're pretty sure even if you lose you're going to make the playoff, you're still not going to take your foot off the pedal because you need to win to get that bye. And if you lose too badly, you might just lose the bye and the home game you would have had otherwise. So, you got to be pretty careful, and I think that makes it pretty tough. And I will say, I forgot to say this, Paul. The other thing that's interesting about the highest-ranked six conference champs is it takes away the possibility of, let's say, you had a five-loss division winner that runs a really fluky upset in a conference championship game. That team's still not making the playoff now. And I think that's one thing people were kind of worried about, and they found a way to basically eliminate it.
That's a really good point. Talking to Andy Staples. Andy, we spend so much time, you know, over the course of a season and the offseason speculating about coaches and their futures. And yeah, it would seem on surface that this is going to be a boon for coaches. Getting to that playoff is so valuable. But and we don't know because it's still down the road. But, you know, it's not quite as valuable as it was, though, is it?
Paul, those goalposts move.
Okay.
That's how it works. I mean, you know, I had a coach suggest a 2014 playoff to me, and I was like, I know why you're saying this, because you think you make the playoff, you keep your job. But that only works for like a year. Like, if you're Nick Saban right now, making the 14 playoff isn't enough. You have to win it every once in a while, and he does. But the expectations always adjust. They are always fluid. So just making the playoff won't be good enough at certain places. You know, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, just making the playoff will be the bare minimum you can do. You'll have to do more in it. But there'll be other places where, yes, making the playoff every few years is exactly what you need to do. Wisconsin, I think, would be a good example of that. Iowa would be a good example of that. In the SEC, I think Auburn's a good example of that. Though if Auburn makes it a couple years in a row, all of a sudden, it's you better make it every year.
Funny how that works at Auburn.
As soon as it came out of my mouth, I realized it's probably a bad idea.
Let's end on Nick Saban. It seems like that's a requirement on this program. He gets the contract extension, and unlike the two of us, if we got a contract extension, we'd be celebrating right now with champagne. Saban just like, okay, wow, that's a big deal. But it was a big deal because of his age, and I'm curious how that decision plays into the playoff decision, because, I mean, here was a guy that was there anyway every year but one. What do you think he's thinking right now about what we are talking about?
Man, if this thing goes 2 weeks longer, it's going to be really hard to get back to recruiting and waste so much of my time. All he's doing, because he's got the 18-month calendar, which I think that's the set in stone one, but he's probably got a preliminary 94-month calendar. Like, he's already trying to decide how much time he's going to have to devote to recruiting while still practicing for a third-round playoff game.
And, you know, the recruiting calendar, which has already been criticized by some who are in those bowl games, I mean, unless something changes there, Andy, you know, we're talking about that Wednesday before Christmas in December. I mean, that's going to be leading right into or right out of some of these games, isn't it?
It's going to be a zoo. Fortunately, all recruiting happens in June, at least.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
maybe just change it after this and just say, just do it all in June and then worry about everything else the rest of the year, because that seems to be how it's going right now.
Somehow, I just think recruiting is going to end up being like a Bitcoin game where you make bids on crypto. Anyway, what a fantastic conversation. When we had you on a couple weeks ago, you were certainly banging the drum loudly for this, and it turned out you were pretty prescient. You must have been on that committee.
I just think there are some really nice people out there who throw a dog a bone every once in a while.
Well, I'm glad to hear. Andy, thank you. Come back soon. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Andy Staples from The Athletic. Some great conversation there. Wow. We are running out of time, but not too much time that we can't talk to you at 855-242-7285. We have 45 minutes remaining on what has been a momentous week in June.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Mike is in Kentucky. You are on the air. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this expansion of the college football playoff was based on opportunity and fairness. Is that a correct assumption?
In theory, yes.
In theory. Okay, well, that's close enough. I mean, because, you know, I kind of agree with one of your former callers who said that conference champions deserve an automatic, you know, entry. And I just don't think it's going to be fair if they let, and I'm not picking on Georgia or Penn State or, you know, but some of these teams that can't get over the annual speed bumps like Alabama and Ohio State, if they let those teams have a second chance, and they don't let a Mountain West Conference champion that has a quality win, you're going to have a quality win on your schedule. I just don't think this is about fairness and equity, equality. I think it's about TV ratings. I mean, I distinctly remember Troy State going down to LSU one year, and they had a running back that run straight over top of them all night long. I remember a Boise State team using a backyard sandlot play called the Statue of Liberty to beat Oklahoma. I mean, the top teams in those conferences can actually once in a while play a good game of football, and I just hope they're not left out. What do you think, Paul?
Well, Mike, there's no guarantee, and I agree. I was surprised. I thought they would be grandfathered into this, but you know, we haven't really heard total explanation yet since it hasn't been confirmed. But I think, you know, they're hanging their hat on the best. I don't think they ever wanted to get away from that. That's what they were saying for 6 years already, about, or 8 years, about how we were trying to identify the best schools, and that they're going to keep saying that.
Conference USA has a pretty good out of conference record.
Well, they do, but Mike,
a few years ago. I mean,
no. Listen, Cincinnati was really good last year. Memphis has been good.
They were very good.
But Coastal has been good. But you can't honestly compare those schedules with what the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten are competing with. It's not the same.
What? I agree with that. So these schools that are conference contenders and these major minor conferences are going to have to schedule a quality win if they're going to have a chance.
Well, yeah, you better believe it. And I think you just said something interesting at the end there. I think that's what we're going to see. I know the Mercers of the world they benefit greatly from being on Alabama's schedule, and you know, certainly a lot of SWAC teams are on schedules, and it's a big payday. But as we get into this in a couple of years, I think you have to have some grave concern that many of those games are going to hold up. There's one SEC school this year whose schedule does not have what I would call a quality opponent. Yeah, in theory, maybe, but you're going to see a lot more home and homes. You're going to see programs take a chance, because if you lose that game, you survive. It's not going to cripple your season, where now you really, if you have Alabama and Florida or Georgia or LSU, you don't want to lose that opening game against UCLA or Colorado or Boston College or whoever you have on there. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, I have two questions for you, sir. So since Nick Saban, he signed a 7-year contract, I don't know if someone asked you, but do you see any of his former assistants defeating Nick Saban? And my second question is, where's King of Panache, Jim from Tuscaloosa? Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a question we talk about every year. This year alone, we have at least two Saban proteges taking on Saban. Three. And ultimately, it will happen. I think it will happen before he leaves. I remember I covered early in my career, I covered Coach Bryant losing at home at Bryant-Denny Stadium, a place he had not lost in 25 years. These things catch up. I'm sure it would be easier to boldly predict Nick Saban will never lose to an assistant, but if he coaches until he's 77, my guess is he probably will. Thank you for the call. Let's talk next to AD, who is in Arkansas. Hello, AD. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. First time caller, long time fan. How you doing today?
I am great. Thank you for calling.
Absolutely. Just quick question for you with the playoffs.
Sure.
Going from 4-12, people are always complaining, or we got left out, or who's going to get in. So you think they ever thought about going back to the BCS formula since we're going to 12?
Well, I must confess, the BCS was pretty exciting. I never thought I would say that, but they have not laid this out yet. They haven't enunciated or articulated, but I think we're going to see a selection committee. It may be a little bit larger. But I don't think they're going to give up on that. Right now it's 12 people. I don't know how many more people they can get, but I think we're sticking with the same old, same old.
All right. I appreciate it, Paul.
Yeah. And one thing about that selection committee, there's a lot of, with where we are in 2021, there's so much data. Right. Those guys are overloaded with information. Hey, thanks for the call. Really good, really great to have you on the show for the first time. Well, we're almost done, but not yet. We still have 30 minutes to go. We will continue with your phone calls. If you're just getting on the program, we had the president of the CFP, Bill Hancock, on a couple hours ago. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and what a week it's been. Quite extraordinary, and we will continue taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And William is up next. Good afternoon, William. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing, Paul?
We're doing okay. Thank you.
I just had a couple questions about the college football playoff. Well, what I wanted to say about it is a whole lot of people are complaining about it, but they also have been complaining the last few years about players not playing in their bowl games because the bowl games don't matter. And I feel like the new format would alleviate some of that, because the guys on the team will have something to play for now. Those bowl games are actually going to mean something.
You're right.
Because they have a chance to play in the national championship.
Yeah, William, what we're talking about is it's been going on for years. But, last year it reached a new level when you had Florida players who wouldn't play in the Cotton Bowl, which, in my era growing up a couple of years back, that was something that would be the crown jewel of your college career, playing in one of those New Year's Six games. So, yeah, I mean, nobody's bailing out on a first round game, I can assure you.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Absolutely. And I just feel like it's going to bring a whole lot of excitement to those fans.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, we can sit here and we've talked to, in the last 3 days, I would say some of the biggest names in college football at ESPN and The Athletic and Yahoo and everywhere else. And really very few. I can only think of one who has just been, you know, blatantly negative toward this. Yes. I have been a huge critic of the CFP in the past because I just felt like they weren't open to change, but they are. I'm shocked. I will tell you. I know a lot of these people. I know all of them. And, you know, the fact that they are willing to, what I would say, get with the times. I mean, we have so many things coming down the track right now with name, image, and likeness, the idea of evaluating the amateur status, to quit trying to hide behind all these archaic and antediluvian themes and labels. And to me, what these commissioners have done this week is the strongest signal that things are changing.
Right. And I feel like it's actually for the kids, because the kids are the ones that are going to be playing in the games, and they want the chance to play for a national championship. If they're not able to go to a high-profile school like Alabama,
Ohio State. There was a time, not that long ago, that if you would think about your bowl trips as cherished memories. Now they're laughable. Nobody wants to go to them, and I hate to say that, because I know there are a lot of really good people put these bowls together, but we are so used to talking about the best. And I will tell you, as a commentator for ESPN, I'm asked on the first weekend of the season, who are your top four? And I'm thinking, we've only had one game, but that's how we think now. And this is putting college football back in the mainstream a little bit. I think college football has slipped the last 3 or 4 years badly because the playoffs are so bad. And now it's going to be, there's new energy. When this playoff began in 2014, there was a lot of buzz. There has been no buzz the last 2 or 3 years outside of about 4 or 5 places in the country.
I definitely appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Hey, I'll talk to you again. Thank you so much, William. It's a pleasure to have you on. Let's talk to Jacob in Florida. You're on the air here on a Friday afternoon. Hello, Jacob.
Hi, Paul. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller from Gainesville.
Thank you very much.
So I'm a lifelong Gator fan. I've seen you at the Florida-Georgia game several times. Me and my dad make a trip out of it to go up on Friday to see all the shows.
Oh,
stuff.
Cool. How exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yeah. So my question today was about the Florida-Alabama game down in the swamp. So I was wondering what kind of chance you think we have in that game. I think it's going to be a huge game for Mullen. It's like a time to really prove himself. He's got his dual threat quarterback that, you know, he's always had and been successful with. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that game.
Yeah, you know, Jacob, that is going to be such a sneaky big game. And I don't mean that as if anytime Alabama and Florida play, it's a big deal. But I'm not sure Alabama fans, I'll speak for them, even though I have no right to, are really thinking about that game. They're thinking about A&M. They're already counting the days to the Georgia game. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. Right now, I would say Florida will be a prohibitive underdog. But I don't need to tell you what a dangerous stadium that is. And
yeah.
I've seen crazy things happen there before, including Alabama upsetting Florida about 20 years ago.
And here's another thing. a lot of times I've just been reading around, and a lot of times, like, obviously, like Manziel beating Alabama, it's, a lot of times you got to have, like, a quarterback that takes over the game.
Right, and absolutely.
I guess he's not in the national spotlight quite yet, but I think he will be. Emory Jones is, like, he's the real deal. I mean, every game he's put in there, and people are like, oh, he's going to run, and then he picks up 15-yard runs with ease.
Well, Jacob, I'll tell you something, and I don't want to set off alarm bells in Alabama, but, you know, Bryce Young is going to be a great quarterback, but there's no guarantee he's going to be a great quarterback the third week of the year.
And he has no experience. Like,
no.
Emory's been in the system for years, and in all the big games, he's taken huge snaps on third and long. I mean, he can throw the ball. I don't know if you remember, but in the Auburn game a couple years back, he had to step in when Trask went down.
Right. I do remember. That was a great game.
He balled out.
Hey, Jacob, I have to ask you. So, how old are you?
I'm 13 years old.
Okay. Because when you are you thinking about broadcasting?
I really want to. I come home and after school I'll listen to your show for hours and trying to learn stuff, because, yeah, that definitely is a career path that I want to go
into.
Well,
I have to tell you, I mean, for a 13-year-old, and I don't mean that because, you know, at 13 I thought I was ready to tackle the world too. I mean, you have an innate ability to analyze, and I stay with it. I hope if we get to Gainesville this year, and I'm pretty sure I will, you come by and say hello, because you've got a lot of skill. I think you have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you so much. Hoping to see you in Gainesville or maybe Jacksonville. We'll see.
Well, I would say, Jacob, I don't know the schedule yet. I don't know anything yet, but I think there's a pretty good chance I'll be in both, and I cannot wait to see you.
I can't wait to see you either. Thank
okay.
you so much.
You come by and we'll talk. Look forward to it. Jacob is my next profession, I'm going to be an agent, and I'm going to represent Jacob and sign him to a big deal.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.